morning.
We welcome all of you this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. We welcome our guests and visitors, and if you're visiting with us, we invite you to worship with us again. Announcements for this morning. The beautiful flowers here this morning are from the Pearl Fetter family. Pearl passed away, and funeral services yesterday, and so the family has the flowers here this morning. We thank the family for that. Announcements for this week. As you can see on your news here, that Bible school is starting. We're looking forward to that. Begins tonight at 6 o'clock and goes to 8 o'clock, and it runs all the way through Thursday. And if you haven't registered, or just bring your kid tonight. I'm sure there'll be plenty of room for the kids. So we look forward to that this week, beginning at 6 o'clock. And announcement that we have as a family, all of you are invited to our birthday party. We're having a birthday party this Saturday at 4 o'clock. Benjamin is going to be 4. And I'm not going to tell you how old I'm going to be. I'm having a birthday, too. But this birthday party is mainly for Benjamin. And it's going to be this Saturday at 4 o'clock. Let us know if you can come. It's going to be at our house, 35 Ladybug Lane. So we invite all of you to come to that if you can. And at this time, Rachel has an announcement.
Good morning. Good morning. We would like to get Ladies Aid back up and running. So if you are interested, let me know. Ms. Brenda has, Brenda Lentz has graciously said that she would teach us how to quilt. So if you don't know how to quilt, that's okay. I don't know. She's going to teach us. If you like to crochet and knit, she knows who I'm looking at. We would love to have you too, because there are different avenues that we can make things to help poor people and people that are in need. We have not set a date yet to start. We want to see who all is interested. And if you are like, I don't want to quilt, I don't want to crochet or knit, but I love food and fellowship, okay, you can come out too. We have something for everybody. This is just a great time to get together and have a great outreach ministry for the church again, which is what Ladies Aid was all about when they first started. So if you have any questions or you're interested, just let me know. Thanks.
Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's take a moment and stand up and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Just let neighbors know that you're glad to see them here this morning. This time I'll ask the praise team to come forward. Praise team is going to lead us in our songs this morning, so please stand in for Abel, and we're going to sing this morning two opening songs, Soul on Fire and Revelation Song. So let's stand and sing these songs to the Lord.
Oh,
Join me in a responsive call to worship this morning, talking about a new heart that God gives us. The Lord says to us, "A new heart I will give to you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and will put my spirit within you." We come to worship, to open our hearts, to receive the living God. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. Lord, hear our hearts. Heal, renew, refresh, enliven us from within. Make our hearts your home. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purify of heart is to will one thing. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let us pray in unison the invocational prayer. O living Christ, come to us in the glory of your risen power. Come to us in the humility of your wondrous love. Come and reign among us. Let new life course through our veins. New love bind us together. A new vision spur us on to follow you forever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time, the children can come forward for the children's story.
Well, how's it going, everybody? Good? Oh, here's some more friends. Well, let's scoot on up here. That's okay. I love to go barefooted. Okay, let's get over here in a circle. So how is everybody?
Good.
Good. All right. We got some enthusiastic people here today. Now, if somebody did something nice for you, what would you do? It's quite.
My sister, a coat and socks.
You gave her a coat and socks? Okay, her face is like, I don't know about that gift. But even if you didn't like the gift, what would you say?
Thank you.
Yes, you say thank you. Very good. All right, what else can you do besides saying thank you?
Me.
What else can you do?
Treat somebody.
You do what to somebody?
Treated.
How about give them a hug? Yes. Other things that you could do is thank you notes. Now look at these that I got. I got this thank you card one time, way back when, for singing a solo during church. So you can do a card. In just a minute, honey. And another thing I got is a letter from the pastor. Okay, this was back in 1994. Do we want to say how old I was? Okay, I was probably like 15. And isn't that nice that the pastor sent me a thank you note? What do you think for singing during church? That was pretty neat. So we're putting the pressure on Pastor Marty this morning. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, Jesus went around and he spent his time doing good things, right? Right? Yes, he did. One of the good things he did was healing people that had evil spirits inside of them. And there is this one man that Jesus met that was controlled by evil spirits. He had not worn clothes for a long time, and he did not live in a house. He spent his days and nights roaming the tombs and in the mountains, and people in the town where he lived was afraid of him and tried to bind him with chains, but he was so strong that he broke the chains. Have you ever seen a chain break?
No.
So it's pretty amazing that this one guy could break the chains. So when Jesus saw him, he felt compassion. That means he felt, oh, I need to do something for him. There was a large herd of pigs on the hillside. So Jesus commanded those evil spirits to go where? Where do you think he commanded them to go? Do a pig sound, Benji. Do it again. Yes, he commanded to go into the pigs. So all the evil spirits went into the pigs, and the man was healed. He was free from all those evil spirits. How do you know how a pig sounds like?
I don't know.
You don't know? You learned probably when you were little, right? Yes, you did. Okay, so after the pigs went into the man, or the man, the evil spirit went out of the pigs from the man. Jesus told the man to go back home and tell everyone what God had done for him. Now, Jesus had told people this before, but they never come back to thank him. And this is in the book of Luke, and this is the first time that a man came back and thanked Jesus for healing him from the evil spirits. And what do you think he asked next? Did he say, I'm just going to go on home? No, he said, I want to follow you. And he followed Jesus. And that's what we should be too, right? We should be grateful when people do stuff for us. We should just say thank you. Give them thank you cards. And we should be thankful for Jesus for all the blessings that he gives us. Name one blessing that God has given you.
Thankfulness.
What else did God give you?
He died for our sins.
Very good.
Food.
Food.
Water.
Benji won't do it.
Close. House.
House.
Family.
Yes, and we could go on and on and on. I bet everybody out there can think of it too. So remember to always be thankful, no matter what is going on. So let's pray. You ready? Our Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us.
We are especially
thankful for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to always show our gratitude, thankfulness, and tell others how much you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. You can go back to your seats.
This time the children can go to Children's Church, and let us read together our offertory statement taken from Micah. Very familiar passage about bringing your offerings to the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love, which you have shown on the cross. We thank you for the church that you have given, and we pray that we would give, Lord, out of the abundance of our hearts. Pray for the ministry of the church, Lord, that you would miraculously provide, Lord, for the needs of this church. Bless this time of offering, Lord, as we give our offerings to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite the praise team to come forward as they sing the song of praise, He is Exalted, and the ushers can come forward as we take up our morning offering. We come to our morning prayer this morning, and I want to read to you an update from the brethren offices. We've been keeping in prayer some situations here and globally within our denomination. And right now, we need to pray for Haiti, and this is taken from Newsline. Pray for the state of violent unrest and instability that has continued in Haiti for months. Pray for members of the Haitian Church of the Brethren, including Haiti Medical Project staff, whose lives and work are disrupted by demonstrations, roadblocks, and other unrest. Also, they have a prayer request here for the Dominican Republic. Pray for members of Lancaster Church of the Brethren as they serve this week with the Church of the Brethren in the Dominican Republic. Volunteers are helping in several congregations, in this one congregation, to add a kitchen and cafeteria to construct a new building for worship and community outreach ministries. Pray for health and safety in the construction work. Pray for a time of rich fellowship between the Dominican and the United States brethren. So we'll lift that this morning for our prayer. In your prayer concern list, you see a number of names there that we need to keep in prayer. We need to lift up the family of Clara Miller. Her service, funeral service is tomorrow at 11. Visitation is at 10 o'clock tomorrow here at the church. And continue to pray for the Pearl Fetter family who passed away. Pearl Fetter passed away last week. We have a prayer request here for Nancy Torres. Nancy Torres broke her wrist, so we need to keep Nancy in prayer for healing. And as we come to prayer this morning, I ask that we end our prayer in sign of unity by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So let's come to our God in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that there is power in your name. There's power in your name, Lord, to forgive sins, to heal sicknesses, to spread the love that each one of us needs. We thank you for that name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege and honor of being the church. We pray that we as your people would look inward within ourselves to see how we can be the example of the church that you want us to be. We pray, Lord, for the needs within our community here in Myerstown, that we would be a church that would look around and see how we can spread the love of Jesus Christ around our community. And not only that, Lord, we also lift up our prayers to our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic right now. We know there's unrest over there right now. But we also know that your church is strong over there. And we just pray a special blessing on the Lancaster Church of the Brethren as they are over there in the Dominican Republic right now. And I'm sure others from other mission groups are there too, that you would use them, Lord, to build your kingdom. We pray also for the Church of the Brethren in Haiti right now with the unrest that's going on. We pray for the needs of the church and for the needs of that nation, Lord, that the Church of the Brethren, Lord, would be a light, serve as the light of Jesus Christ. This morning we lift up the family of Clara Miller. We thank you for Clara Miller, for her witness, for her gift of the ministry of music that she served here in this church for so many years. We thank you for her. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her witness. We pray for the family of Clara Miller as experiencing the loss of her. Pray that you would give them strength and healing in their loss. We also lift up the family of Pearl Fetter, who passed away. We thank you for Pearl's life and her witness here. Pray that you would be with the family as they go through a difficult time of loss. Lord, we lift up Bible school this week. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to have Bible school. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the leaders and the kids as they come, Lord, that we would have a really good time learning about Jesus and telling others about Jesus. We pray that the kids would have a good time, that they would invite their friends, Lord, and Lord, that you would just bless Bible school this week. We continue, Lord, to pray for our nation right now, to pray for a president, that you would uplift and protect our president, Lord, and leaders. We pray that you would instill our leaders, Lord, the desire to serve and follow you. We pray that now that you would open up our hearts in unity as we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Very interesting text this morning. It's a good text, a good message here. And the title of this sermon is Great Things from God. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Hear the word of the Lord. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he, Jesus, stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him and was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there in the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. May God add the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful story, this wonderful testimony, Lord, of how you delivered this man. I pray now that you guide every word that I speak. Guide the meditations of my heart, Lord. We want to uphold you and tell us, we pray that this message, Lord, will glorify Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Today's text should cause every one of us to ask ourselves this question: has God ever done a good thing in your life? Has God ever given you victory in Jesus' name? Has that ever happened to you? This is what Jesus told the demon-possessed man to do after Jesus healed him. Jesus told him, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." This is a marvelous story, a marvelous message, a marvelous testimony. It is a message of victory in Jesus' name. That Jesus is able to deliver and heal the worst, the most demon-possessed man. And if Jesus is able to deliver a demon-possessed man, he is more than able to heal and deliver anything that we face. Any hardship, any bondage, any problem we have in our lives. He is more than able to do that. The Word of God tells us this. I'd like for us to look at this text. There's a lot to go over. I'm going to condense it as well as I can. If you look at verse 26, the first verse, it says, "They sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee." Now, this is important to note because Jesus was entering into unfriendly territory. That's where the Gadarenes was. The Gadarenes was a Gentile area where Jesus was not welcome many times. This was an area east of the Sea of Galilee. You could say that Jesus was entering, as we know it, the other side of the tracks. An unfriendly neighborhood. Look what happened next. Matthew 8:27. "And when he," Jesus, "stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs." Now let's look at this man. This was a very unusual man. I'm sure you and I probably never met a man like this before. He was demon-possessed, and the demon-possessed man had many demons. This man was rather unusual. That's why it says in verse 31, "His name is Legion, because many demons entered him. And he lived like a wild animal living in a cave." And that's why he had no clothes. He lived like he was a wild animal. Matthew's version of the story says that this man was exceedingly fierce. Mark's version says this man was bound with shackles and chains, and no one could tame him. Why was he living in the tombs? That's interesting to note. Well, it was believed at the time of Jesus that demons lived in the tombs where this demon-possessed man came from. He was a man who is an outcast. An outcast people at that time lived in caves to isolate themselves away from everyone. So what happened next? Jesus comes along and he phases this wild, out of control demon man that no one wanted to face. I mean, no one could deal with this man. But Jesus comes along and he faces him. And when I thought about that, I thought, praise God that we have a Savior who can do that. He had the holy boldness to confront evil in the face because no one else could. Thank the Lord for our Savior for that. Now, there are probably different opinions today about what demons is, and I'm not going to get into this too heavy, but I will say one thing. One thing is very clear in Scripture, and that is demons are for real. We just can't deny them. We just can't say it's a fairy tale. They are real. They exist. Demons are Satan's agents. They work for Satan. They live inside people, and they oppress people. And they seek opportunities to destroy people, innocent people. It is also believed among some biblical scholars that even Christians can have demons living inside of them. However, this does not mean that a Christian is possessed by demons. Instead, Christians can have the influence of demonic elements. Good Christians, we are not automatically immune from demon influence, which means that we need to have a good defense against demons. And in your inserts, I have seven or eight good defense mechanisms that we need to have against demons, taken from Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. I don't have time to go through Ephesians 6. But that is spiritual, putting on our spiritual armor. There are eight elements there that we need to uphold as Christians as a defense against demon influence. And these are truth, practice truth, tell the truth, righteousness, live a righteous life, gospel shoes, which shows readiness to share the gospel, put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Faith is so important. Have the sword of the Spirit, of the Word of God. And most important, prayer. This is the best defense we have against demon influence that all of us can practice. With all that said, I personally have little ministry experience with demons and demon deliverance. I have known ministers from other denominations where I was at before who have the gift of deliverance. I do not have that gift, but there are ministers and there are ministries that deal with demon deliverance that the church is important for the church today. But regardless on where we stand theologically, we must all confess and believe that demons are for real. And if we believe that all of Scripture is inspired by God, which we do, then we need to believe that demons are for real because they're mentioned much in the gospel texts. There is much written about demon and demon possession. However, because of this, we should never have a defeated mindset about evil and about demons, because we know the Savior who is the answer for that. When we read Scripture, we know that much of Jesus' ministry included casting out demons and unclean spirits. And we can be assured that in every instance recorded in Scripture, Jesus had authority from God to cast out demons and evil spirits. He had the victory over every demon he faced. So that means that we as believers in Jesus Christ should never fear anything. We should not fear anything that's related to demons or spiritual warfare, because we know the one who has complete victory and authority over demons, whose name is Jesus Christ. Now, if you look back at Luke 8:28, we see Jesus' authority over demons. It says, "When the man saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.'" So that says the demons know who their enemy is. It is the one who God gave authority over, the evil one. Jesus is the demon's number one threat. We see that in the text today. And this is why it's important for all of us to pray in the name of Jesus for deliverance. Another point we need to make about this text is demons oppress people. Demons oppress people. People are victims of demons. Their only goal is to destroy people. They destroy relationships. They break up families. They interfere in the ministry of the church. Their only goal is to destroy, and people pay the price. We see this in verse 29. If you see, the demon-possessed man was really a victim in this whole thing. It says, "For he," that is Jesus, "commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him," which means take control of the man. "And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons in the wilderness." So in other words, this man was under complete control of the demon. The demon had complete power over this man. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that some people need to escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So in other words, this man was trapped by demon possession. Look at Luke 8, verse 30 next. "Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many demons had entered him." Now this is interesting. Why the name? A name implies authority. Your name has authority. You were named after a person. I personally was named after my great-grandfather. There's authority. There's importance with the name. And the same concept applies here. Okay? The name implies character, authority, rank. There's something powerful when we say the name of Jesus. There's power there, just like there's power in every person's name. And it is believed that whenever someone is praying for a demon to come out of a person, they always speak to the demon and ask what their name is. That way, you fight fire with fire. The fight fire with the Holy Spirit is what Jesus did. Another way of looking at this whole idea of demon situation is to look at the situation in everyday life where demons have an opportunity to destroy us. Instead of saying that this person has a demon or that person doesn't have a demon, think of situations in your life, in my life, that can lead to demon influence. For example, if you look at Galatians 4, 19 to 21. Galatians 4, 19 to 21. This is a passage of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 4, 19 through 21. Actually, it's 5. It's 5. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 talks about the works of the flesh. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So Paul lists these sins of the flesh, these common sins of the flesh that you and I have sometimes. And if we practice them, that can lead to what we call demonic activity. Kleistra says that in reading his book on biblical healing and deliverance, he says the sins of the flesh are the door that we most frequently open to invite the enemy to destroy us. And he gives an example, like anger. Anger is a door of opportunity for a demon to come in, because with anger, sometimes you have uncontrolled anger. You have venting. Anger can lead to violence. And then you have fear. And I would also add worry. I mean, how many of us worry? Fear and worry can open a door of opportunity for evil, because that can lead to sinful habits, like taking drugs and alcohol, you know, to make you happy. Other ones that he lists include greed, jealousy, envy, rebellion, pride is a big one, lust, gluttony, gossip, strife, bitterness, self-righteousness, criticizing, blaming, judging, and unforgiveness. And so he concludes by saying, sin does not have to be exotic to provide an opportunity for demons. So in other words, he says, when we practice these sins of the flesh, that's an opportunity for the demon to come in. But only Jesus can give us victory over sin. Another passage of scripture you might want to write down is James chapter 4, verse 7. James is someone who gets right to the point when it comes to evil. James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, he just says, resist all these evil things, and the demonic activity will flee from you. Or every time you think you're defeated, think of Jesus coming along like he did this man and casting out that evil spirit with anything that you're facing. Now look back to the main text at Luke 8:31. Luke 8:31, the story continues here. And they begged him, that is the demons begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now the abyss refers to the bottomless pit. It is a dwelling place for demons. So let's review. You have this man with a legion of demons, which would include 3,000 to 6,000, because that's what a legion includes. This man is being tormented by these numerous demons. Now, what would you be thinking if you'd be Jesus? Would you think, man, I don't know if I want to get involved. I'm just going to walk away from this whole thing. Jesus didn't think that at all. Jesus was thinking, you know, I got to do something. I got to get rid of these demons somehow. And this is where the story gets controversial. Because if you're an animal rights activist, you will not like this next verse. Look at verse 32 to 33. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place in the lake and drowned. Now, some people are very critical here of what Jesus did and why. Why would he send evil spirits into all these innocent pigs? Well, there's one opinion about why Jesus did that, and that is pigs are considered to be unclean meat. The Jews in Bible times thought that was unclean, so they thought, well, it's okay just to kill all these pigs in order to get rid of all these demons. The other opinion, and this is where I think it's more in line, is that the soul of one man is more important to save than a bunch of pigs that drown. And Jesus did save the soul of this man, and he healed this man of this demonic oppression. Now, there's another opinion about this story, and this is a rather humorous comment from a seminary professor who concluded that this is a new revelation he received when he said, well, this is the first case of deviled ham. Not sure if that was in the Bible or not. It's probably not in the Bible. Now, after Jesus got rid of all these demons, and when he saved and healed, they asked Jesus to leave. I thought that was interesting. Why would people not want Jesus to stay after this man was delivered? Well, some believe that, you know, pigs were, you know, a lot of livestock and source of income, and now it's gone, and who knows, they're probably thinking, well, if they got rid of the pigs, they're going to go after chickens next. Who knows? But consider the cost of one man who's healed from demonic activity and saved by the power of Jesus Christ. It is well worth the cost. I think about all the people today who might be oppressed by demonic activity, and they refuse to acknowledge that there's evil in their life. What should the response of the church be? Well, I say begin with yourself. Look inward. Confess and acknowledge that you and I am just as much, we are all prone to temptation for demonic activity. We have that influence. Just by living in this world. Just by living in this world of sin and temptation. But there is someone who provides a way of escape, and his name is Jesus. And if you and I are fully devoted to him, and we give our lives to him, give our hearts to him, he will give us the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us when Jesus sent out 70 of his followers to minister to the people, what happened? They said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. What a wonderful revelation that was. The disciples went out, 70 of them, and saw how Satan fell. Think what that must have been like. God has that gift. He has that gift to give to any believer in Jesus' name. It is what God is able to do through his work in our lives. But let's say that you're not really into casting out demons. That's okay if you're not into that. Because there's another very important part of this message, and that is the power of this man's testimony. What is our gift? One of our gifts from God is our testimony of what God has done. What God has done in our lives. And this is what Jesus told this once demonic man who was healed to do. Luke 8:39. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. That should speak to all of us. This man's testimony can be our testimony this morning. And one truth we need to know is this: we are not defeated. We can live in victory, and there's power in our testimony of what God has done in our lives. One of the things that we must all battle against as believers is this one thought that says, my life is not that important. My life is not that important. We have to defeat that. Does God really care about me? Many people think that. Does God really care about me? Is God really listening to me? Does he hear my prayer to him? God can't use me for anything. These are the things that we must battle against as believers. If you are someone who has confessed that you need the Lord in your life, and if you made the decision to follow him, God is able to use you. And God's listening to you, and that you are important to God. And there is opportunity out there for you to be used by God. And I want to challenge all of us this morning to do what Jesus told this healed man to do. Return to your house and tell what great things God has done for you. I really challenge you today to do that. When you go home, talk with your family about the great things God has done. Start in your house. Begin your testimony in your home, like Jesus told this man. Take some time and see where the Lord will lead you when you share that testimony. The scripture text ends by saying the healed man went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. In other words, he not only went to his home to share that, he went out to the city. He told he couldn't help but speak of what Jesus did. What about you and I? That says, never underestimate the power of your testimony of what God has done through Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be anything big, just something where you know that God made a difference in your life and where you give him all the praise and glory. As the Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's no one. If you have any fear, if you have any doubt about whether God is for you, I urge you to bring it to the altar today. We have the victory through our testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful power of your word, for the wonderful power of your testimony, of your promise, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done on the cross. We thank you for the work that you're doing through people's lives, in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us that hope and that encouragement, Lord, that you are doing a work in our lives. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song today, Here's My Heart, such an important song of praise. Our testimony to the Lord begins with our heart. So let's all stand as we sing our closing song, Here's My Heart. I invite the praise team to come forward.
Because I am loved.
From the Apostle Paul from Romans 10:9-13 for a benediction. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes, and unto righteousness, and with the mouth of confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.